You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, and as I promised last night, here it is.
We're on the steps of the Capitol building, and there are quite a few people here, not as many as we had expected or desired, but we're going to try to get some comments from some of the participants in Project 93. Where are you from, sir?
Cranston, Rhode Island.
Cranston, Rhode Island.
And what do you think about what's going on here this morning?
I think it's about time that people woke up and started doing something about the corruption in government and what they want to do to take down our borders as far as NAFTA.
And what do you think about this?
I don't know right now. Let me think. I'm not really good at this.
What do you think about the turnout?
I think I'm a little disappointed with the turnout. I thought there would be more people here. We really got hyped up about this. We tried to get people from Rhode Island to come with us, but we decided to make it come by ourselves anyway, taking the day out of work and whatnot.
Well, I'm happy that you were able to make it, and a lot more people should be here. Did you have to make any sacrifices in order to be here?
I had to take some time out of work. I took the only two personal days I get a year as a school teacher, so that was my sacrifice because now I can't use it for anything else, but this is great. This is well worth the sacrifice. I'm glad to be here and glad to be a part of this group.
Wonderful.
What did you have to do?
Well, it doesn't make any difference what you have to do. I'm surprised more people didn't take the day off to be here or 2 days off, whatever they had to do to get here to show these people that we're serious.
Do you think that the attitude of most people is that if it's going to cost me a few dollars to get to Washington, D.C., that it may not be worth the trip?
That's part of it, and they listen to the national, you know, CBS, NBC, CNN, and they actually believe all the things that they say on TV, which is, I mean, if you switch from one station to the next, you don't miss anything. They all say the same thing.
You're absolutely right. We have a few CAGI members here. We'll see what they have to say, Bart.
Yes, me and Mark from L.A., I'm only 22 years old, and so is Mark. We had to take the whole week off. I had to take it with no pay, charge everything, the phone, the plane fare, hotel, food, and just go into debt, but who really cares? This is what we do.
So you really made quite a bit of a sacrifice there.
Oh, yeah. This is the only way we could actually say we're really doing something, instead of just saying, oh, we'll talk about it and not do anything about it and be a hypocrite.
What do you think about the turnout?
They sure didn't listen to you, did they?
I don't think they listened to anybody, to tell you the truth. How about you? What did you have to do to get here?
I had to take some time off, spend a couple hundred dollars, and about it.
What do you think about the turnout?
Well, I'm disappointed. I thought more people would show up. I wish they did. This is really important.
Yeah, it is really important. Well, we'll try a couple more people saying. Mark, what do you think?
Well, I think more people need to be here, but I had to make some sacrifices, take a week off work, and fly over here from California. But the enemy's here and watching, so just have to let them know that we care.
How about the turnout?
I think there should be a lot more people here.
How many people would you estimate are actually here, Mark?
I'd say about maybe 1,000 or two.
You think there's as many as 1,000?
No.
There might be more people than
me. Even if there were, it's not near enough, is it? And what did you have to do to get here to Washington for this Project 93?
Had to do a lot of driving, about 800 miles. I'm from northwestern Illinois, and took off work. I'm self-employed, so I can't fire myself. And I also had to leave my family behind so I could be here. I wanted to see with my own eyes exactly how many people were going to be here and what the attitude would be. And I'm very disappointed to see that there are more people here. And I'm also very disappointed to see that a certain organization has kind of taken over this event as though they've put the whole thing together under their own power, when in fact they didn't have much to do with it at all. And I'm talking about Liberty Lobby.
That's the old Hegelian dialectic, isn't it? If there's something that endangers the status quo, they just take over and lead it in the direction where they can do no harm. What do you think about that?
I also agree with them, too.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, and thank you, ma'am.
And then take the power of our Congress and tax the bankers, we'll get it all back anyway. That's when we're going to start doing it. That's the question. I'm tired of having my neighbor tell me, what they're going to do to me. I'm only interested in what we're going to do to them. And that's what we're here for. And when we leave here, I want to know that every congressman here has not had to answer the three questions. What do we use for money? How do you get into circulation? And how does that affect my life as a businessman and anybody else, a farmer, a consumer? Because, by golly, that's the bottom line. I'm tired of trying to borrow myself out of debt. And if I do be successful, I force three other guys into bankruptcy so I can be there. Hey, fellow, that's not the way I want to live. And let's change it. And again, I repeat, and I'm going to quit. We have some of these back at the table. Ray, I kept piling things into his station wagon. He said, Byron, you've got to at least let the bumper not hit the ground. So, we don't have a lot, but we can get them. You can make more copies. Whatever we do, we can get them. You can study them. And I guarantee you, if you put the pressure on, we have hand-delivered these to all these congressmen, so they have them, and they just dig them out. But, you know, they don't even read the stuff you give them. But I found out when you call them on the telephone, you know, they have to answer that telephone. And one time, they came out with a paper that the FBI offered me $320,000 to tell them where Gordon Cole was. And that hit the papers. And, you know, and this week I called up my congressman and I said, I know, I just want to talk to you a little today about the hardship that's out here in the debt. She said, Byron, you don't have any idea what she's done. And I said, what do you mean? She said, man, our phone has literally not quit ringing for 3 days. These people are mad. They read in the paper where you was going to get your farm back because you know a criminal and we're all going to lose ours. And she said, you know, we never dreamed there was that much economic problems out there. And I said, why not? I've been telling you every day, every week for a year. But see, it's only when in mass that phone rings their ears off, that's when they begin to listen. And see, if we take up the attitude that we're like the woman in the Bible, you know, the old king, he regarded me as God and her man, but that woman stayed after him so much, she said, I can't have you anymore, I'm going to give you what you want. And that's what we're going to do to these guys. And I thank you.
All right, that's the voice of America. And now, folks, we have one member of the establishment behind us, first-year congressman, Tom Barlow. He is from Kentucky, and he's honored to be his presence. We want him to know what we think. So here he is, Congressman Tom Barlow.
Thank you all for coming. You know, we must be working on the right track because we got beautiful weather today. I understand people drove overnight, and I've done that many times. I used to be a salesman, and in some ways I still am a salesman. Probably the most important selling is done right up behind us for the future of our nation. We've got to sell them on the reality that North American Free Trade Agreement is going to put America down. So we in Congress, we in the House of Representatives have got to defeat this. It looks like we've got the votes to defeat it. And with your continued pressure in the weeks ahead, I think we can put this one to rest. Now, none of us here are totally blind to the reality that if Mexico increases its spending power, if it pays decent wages to the workers down there, they're going to improve their markets for everybody, for the United States. And if we can get their wages up down there, if we can support working people and farmers in Mexico, we're going to see our economy move ahead. But just building, I don't know about the Fed. I know about NAFTA. I know about NAFTA. Let me see it.
Let me see it.
The obvious question at this point is, if he doesn't know about the Fed, what's he doing in Washington?
It'll take too long. But we're going to defeat the biggest problem. We're going to defeat the biggest problem for the economy of our nation. I want to use my energies to bring down the biggest problem for the economy of the United States, and that is the North American free trade.
Listen, I invited the congressman here. He had the guts and the courage to come out here. Let's treat him with respect and decency. He came here to talk about NAFTA. Let him talk about NAFTA.
That's the Liberty Lobby, which has taken over this demonstration and are redirecting the whole emphasis from the Federal Reserve to the NAFTA treaty. Wonderful example of the Hegelian dialectic at work.
Don't do that. I understand your feelings, I really do. But on the other hand...
This is Tom Valentine.
You understand, and I'm glad you let him know how pissed off you are. That's fine, we all are. But at the same time, that's the way I act, and I've never gotten anywhere with these guys. See, I've always been a grab-them-by-the-throat kind, and it doesn't do any good. We are hundreds, and we're growing, and I appreciate this. The congressman was invited to come here to talk about NAFTA, because NAFTA was one of the reasons that we were here. And it would have been nice to hear it. That is a big issue. And let me tell you something, folks. Right now in America, you and I know about the money situation. We know about the Federal Reserve. Byron Dale's terrific. We all know that. But we have two very real issues in this building. One is NAFTA, the other is this health program. If both of those pass, we're going to have socialized everything, and it's going to go all the way to South America. And if that's what you want, fine. But you got to do what you can. Try to be practical. Yeah, you want to cut him up, but... I know, I understand that. That's why we're here, to tell him. By the way, all of you fellas with video cameras, please come up and see me later, because we may want to try and put this thing all together so everybody will be able to see it. All of you individuals out there with video cameras, I want to try and put something together so everybody who couldn't be here could see it. All right, now, the reason all of you are here, tell her to get off the radio. She's not in the bathroom, but she's on the radio, and I'm going to introduce her here. But the reason that all of us got together to come out here is a woman in Colorado. Who, just like you and just like me, she got fed up. And she did something. And I'm telling you what, this takes a lot of guts, a lot of determination, and a lot of hard work. And you have to really believe in what you're doing to do what Dee Dee Kidd has done for us here today. And I want to now introduce you to the woman responsible for the whole thing, Dee Dee Kidd.
Everybody out here today. I wish that more people could have come today, but I understand it costs a lot of money to travel, and the powers that be don't leave us very much money anymore to do anything. Well, they really don't. I mean, we basically work for interests that are not in our own best interest. The one thing that struck me very strongly when I first got here the other day, again, I was here a couple years ago, is when you look around at the bureaucracy in this city, you are looking at the monster that's going to devour itself, because it is so self-perpetuating. Not that there's anything wrong with having a government, but the success of a Republican government is based on the limitation of that government. So I have a speech. Let's hear it. Okay. First, I need to move this just a little because I need to be able to see this. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary... These words began the unanimous Declaration of Independence 217 years ago. Why did dozens of individuals assemble to make this declaration? As Patrick Henry said in his speech, "Give me liberty or give me death," so said John Hancock and the other signers of the Declaration of Independence. Hear ye, enough is enough. Patrick Henry said, "We have requested for 10 years our freedom from the tyranny of the crown. All our requests have fallen on deaf ears."
Today we the people again assemble here because our request for untenable gross constitutional violations and our lawful request for correction by Congress continue to fall on deaf ears. Our founding fathers and a relatively small percentage of the colonial population decided that freedom for one nation under God was the only path that they could pursue, no matter how high the cost to each of them and their families. Today I stand here before you 10 months after I determined that no matter what the personal cost to me, this magnificent republic will survive because it's time once and for all to cure the cancer and quit treating the symptoms. America, with its bountiful four spacious skies, one majestic mountain range, our cities and communities we all call home, will not survive if the people don't join together and execute a lawful game plan and stick with it until our common goals are realized. Today we are faced with several major proposals that will only continue to destroy our independent nation by boosting the quest for socialism as the international bankers push for their new world order. As difficult as it is for most of us to stomach, we have two individuals residing in our White House who are nothing more than puppets for the godfathers of the New World Order. Whether Mr. Clinton was lawfully elected and new credible research is revealing the complete and total fraud of electronic ballot machine tampering, there is quite a bit of research going on. He is currently the president. Much has been written about Mr. Clinton since he took office, but one thing we do know for sure, Clinton is a socialist globalist, as is his wife. Mrs. Clinton, surrounded by socialists, unelected in any capacity, is unquestionably running the White House and is trying with remarkable speed to shove more unnecessary socialistic legislation down our throats, whether we want it or not. Health care is not an entitlement under our Constitution. It is welfare, and Clinton and company are playing on security fears to convince Americans that this fascist approach is the only solution. The only real constitutional solution to the health care is an excise tax to fund a national health care program administered by the individual states of the Union. That way it will work. NAFTA, the North American Fraud and Theft Agreement. This phrase, as far as I know, was coined by Nicholas Lafoy out of Houston, but we've adopted it because I feel it very appropriately describes what it is. Conceived possibly as far back as 1941, and there's some evidence that surfaced to this, has nothing to do with improving the standard of living for folks south of the border. Mexico owes the International Monetary Fund $300 billion in bad loans. They owe another $100 billion to Chase Manhattan Bank. The same roster as the Fed banker boys. The only way Rockefeller and company will realize any payback on these loans is to start vacuuming out America's economy. NAFTA isn't fair trade or creation of jobs. The real bottom line was revealed by Hank Kissinger, Henry, in a special article he wrote for the Los Angeles Times Syndicate this past summer. Speaking of NAFTA, Mr. Kissinger stated, quote, "It will represent the single most creative step towards a new world order taken by any group of countries since the end of the Cold War. But the stakes are too high to wait much longer," unquote. That's the bottom line of the North American Fraud and Theft Agreement. NAFTA is not a question of jobs. It's a matter of loyalty to the sovereign republic of the United States of America. Yes. Those who pledge their allegiance to NAFTA are pledging their allegiance to foreign powers and therefore can only have their actions interpreted as treason against our republic. These are very strong words. They were words used by our founding fathers when they took the most serious step that they ever took in their lives. Our Constitution defines what treason is. People are judged by their actions. 4 days ago, three of our U.S. Marines, our beloved, wonderful military, three young men, were shot down in Somalia. Those we fed, provided medicine to, and support to, turned like rabid dogs and cheered to death of our valiant freedom fighters. I first got into the Patriot Constitutionalist Movement because of the American POW-MIA issue. It is one close to my heart. I don't know any POWs or their families, although I've met a lot of them. And it has been the one thing that kept me going, because it's the one thing that makes me so sick about what's going on, because I know that they deliberately left these people behind. I followed the career of Marion Shelton, not the career, but Marion Shelton's story for a long time. Her husband, Colonel Shelton, was shot down a long time ago. And I put a picture of her and her husband in my fourth book when they were first married 25 years ago, and that was like 3 years ago. When I was speaking for Citizens Against Government Waste in Salt Lake City in October of 1991, right before I was going to speak, I looked in the newspaper and there was a picture of her, and I thought it was just another story, you know, about this POW. And the article said that the day before she had put a gun in her mouth and blew her brains out. And it was all I could do to go out and make a speech, because you have to wonder what she went through all these years. Where is her husband? He still is the only official MIA on the book. And who and what is it all for? It's for a chess game for people who lust for power. Mr. Clinton, at the behest of the shadow government pulling his strings, wants him to order more of our military now into Bosnia. All of this military intervention using our military is being justified by America's unholy alliance with a group of bloody communist hoodlums called the UN. Our troops cannot uphold their oath to the U.S. Constitution and serve the UN Charter at the same time. It's time to stop these forces behind the scenes from using any more of our fine men and women who serve in the greatest military in the world as cannon fodder for their global chess game while they lust for their own personal power. It's time to demand the full accounting of our POW MIAs, or open trade with Vietnam can be damned. For the love of God, we and our men left behind need the situation resolved. We don't need any more remembering days or any more parades or any more propaganda. David Rockefeller is scheduled to go to Southeast Asia on October the 15th so he can go over there and whore, because there's no other word to describe it. Well, this is what it's all about, is the trade business. Well, it's a number of things. Recently, a majority of our Congress passed the so-called budget reduction deficit plan. The vote was taken on an incomplete package that is still being massaged. What kind of responsible action is that? Would you sign a contract that was half-finished? Voting on something affecting the lives of every man, woman, and child in this country, and you don't even know the final product or what it will say, to me, is very irresponsible. It does not indicate to me that you are qualified to hold the position that you do. And these people hold tremendous power, as we all know. This vote was an orchestrated horse and pony show, shoving the biggest tax hike in history of this nation down America's throat. There is no deficit reduction, no reduction in the national debt, only more debt and taxation without representation. I say taxation without representation because while our elected members of Congress were receiving almost 90-1 against this farce, our elected officials paid no attention to we the people once again. Instead, they followed the marching orders of those orchestrating events, and that's the banksters. Let's cut through the niceties. It's time to quit dancing around and all of that. Yes. Okay. Whose truckload of petitions is it? We need a few volunteers to unload. Okay. Let us cut through the niceties, the political mishmash, and cut to the cancer of America's economic woes and all of its little tentacles that are out there. The Federal Reserve is neither federal nor does it have any reserves. We know the truth. Congress knows the truth. Clinton and Gore know the truth. Due to the unprecedented censorship by the CFR, Fed-controlled establishment media, the majority of Americans today are still being lied to and manipulated in a morally criminal way. We scream no more billions for the foreign welfare disguised as foreign aid, camouflaging communism under so-called democracy. The bankers, the Fed, continue putting the squeeze on Congress to continue the rape of our nation. Well, you and I know the despicable truth that hasn't changed, rather has escalated since Congressman Louis McFadden so simply said in 1932. Quote, every effort has been made by the Federal Reserve Board to conceal its power. But the truth is the Federal Reserve Board has usurped the government of the United States of America. It is a monstrous thing for this great nation of people, presided over by a traitorous government board, acting in secret concert with international usurers. These evildoers have robbed this country of more than enough money to pay the national debt, unquote. You and I know the method used for this unconstitutional plunder. The dishonorable congressionally sanctioned group of thugs and petty hoodlums called the IRS. In 1941, Congressman Wright Patman stated for the Congressional Record, I have never yet had anyone who could, through the use of logic and reason, justify the federal government borrowing the use of its own money. He also said, I believe the time will come when people will demand that this be changed. I believe the time will come in this country when the people will hold you and me, the Congress, to blame for sitting idly by and permitting such an idiotic system to continue. Fellow Americans, today is the first day of reckoning. Today we begin the quest for freedom to take back our country, not with words, but with action. I realize millions just like us are very angry about the efforts to enslave America with debt. However, today is not a day to call members of Congress descriptive nicknames. Today we ask them, our paid public servants, to begin practicing their oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. We are asking them to do what is constitutionally lawful and fiscally sound for America. And why wouldn't any public servant do that? Today we will let all 535 members of Congress know that they have the full support of we the people to begin implementing the demands as set forth in our petition. Those who choose to flagrantly ignore their oath and openly support the private banksters will be the ones we will lawfully and peacefully go after right along with the unfed gang. Make no mistake about it, my friends, and I hope that you are my friends. Things will get very ugly before they get any better. We the people must do several things to ensure the success of this project of Americans by Americans for Americans, even the ones who don't know that we're doing this for them. Number one, we need to call and fax the drug fax machine, if possible, to your House members' offices every single day, not just during the month of October, but November, December. I know that everybody's busy. I know that you're all trying to support your families. But this issue has dragged on longer than I've been alive, and I've been around a long time. But the only way it will stop is for people to once and for all do the same thing that should be done with war, and that's take the profit out of the Patriot Movement, get off everybody's behind, and stay in their faces until we get this done once and for all. Stay on that telephone. They don't like it. Stay on those fax machines. Please be polite but firm. They do not react well to descriptive name-calling. Believe it or not, there are some who are in support of this, but they need the open support of America. This is a very dangerous game. I know that everybody out there is aware that these are very high stakes. So these people are fleecing us for $1 billion a day at no cost to them. This is the highest stakes game there is. Canada is trying to do the same thing we are. Canada has a big movement to get rid of their central bank because they know that the money that's being fleeced from them is being funneled to the same banks over in Europe. So we are not alone in this fight, but America is still the plum of the free world. And if we fall to the New World Order, the whole world will fall to this godless, bloody, socialist, communist, whatever label you want to put on it. But our country will never be the same. We must impress upon the 435 individuals who serve we the people in the House of Representatives that we are unified, strong, and we're not going away until our goals are realized. Please be patient, as I said, and polite. This is not going to happen overnight. Remind them that November the 3rd, 1994 is just around the corner. Believe me, the pressure on these 435 people from Greenspan, Lawrence and David Rockefeller, and the rest of the Washington, D.C. Baker boys will be enormous. However, they must choose between America and the New World Order godfathers of this. Project 93, possibly into 94, I guarantee you, is going to separate the wheat from the chaff here. We're going to see who's who and where they stand. That's right. I tell you, this isn't my hobby, and I don't want it to be my job. This was done to get this done. Byron Dale, whom you heard, a man we should all recognize and thank, will proceed with the legal filings to get this matter into the courts. If you're an attorney who can donate legal research time, please leave your card at the donation table. We do need donations. We're always asking for donations. Project 93 has existed on nothing. No PAC money, so I couldn't turn it down. No corporation money, nothing. It has been really, it's been on a shoestring, but if we keep, in order to keep going, we have to have some legal money to be donated. I was going to go over to the wall afterwards this afternoon. However, the clerk of the house has finally granted me my papal dispensation, a 3 o'clock appointment. We'll have to do this in two different sessions for the petition, but we'll get it done, and everything will be in the newsletter to go out. Form coalitions in your state. Some of these patriot groups that call themselves patriot constitutionalist groups are not. They keep distracting people in this country, and I keep trying to tell everybody, if it's a rumor, don't listen. If they tell you something, ask for proof. This is the thing that's been keeping this movement becoming enormous in this country. We have more than 1,700,000 signatures. That's a lot of people who know about this. But they're scattered willy-nilly here and there by the Fed's dead tomorrow, the IRS is out of business, this person's doing that. If they can't prove it to you, tell them to get lost. You've got more important things to stay focused on. And I'm serious. You win a battle by staying focused. My 49ers, and don't boo, won 4 Super Bowls because they stayed focused. They didn't go into the furniture business on me at one side. They didn't go do... They played football. Every down was important. Everything that we do from today forward is a matter of the survival of this country. So we... Now, in the camera, we all know what the problem is. We all know what the solution is. These people back here in this Congress hold the key. These are the people we need to target and stay on. And as I said, the elections are coming. Some of them are even starting to drop out, which makes it a lot easier. Well, they're going to take the big war chest with them, see? Comrade Pat Schroeder, our House member, and I said I wouldn't say any nicknames. I swear she's in a perpetual state of constipation. When she decides to retire, she'll take over $2 million. Form coalitions in your state. Project 93 is a First Amendment grassroots movement. This is not United We Stand. This isn't set up trade. This isn't going to be business as usual. This is coalitions to perform certain tasks that are action, action, action oriented. Start lobbying your U.S. attorneys in your state to submit the required documentation demanding a grand jury to indict the Federal Reserve in your state, its stockholders, etc. Demand that they prepare the paperwork. They are servants. We want a grand jury to go over possible indictment under the federal racketeering laws against the Federal Reserve in your bank, in your state. There is no question that these individuals are guilty of fraud, racketeering, extortion, and on and on and on. If one bank challenged the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, it would be declared unconstitutional. Surely, out of the tens of thousands of people involved in this who couldn't be here today, but who will see the video or hear, surely somebody knows a bank president, a small bank. That's all it will take. The Federal Reserve Act violates antitrust and all kinds of other laws. So if you know anybody that is at the top of a bank or who has connections like that, let's try to get them to file suit under the antitrust and the fact that there's a lot of clauses in the Fed that are unconstitutional. If you are financially able, file a class action civil suit against the Fed in your state over violation of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5. That paper money robs you, the plaintiffs, of your values and the value of your savings, etc. If the judge ignores your filing, and believe me, they have, but it's not a wasted exercise, because now we're going to use the law to dump them, too. We, the people, are guaranteed a grand jury. We're guaranteed trial by jury. We need to find out from these law research centers around the country how you, as a sovereign person, can exercise your right to get that grand jury. And if the judge wants to fine you for frivolous filing, then it's time to execute the paperwork to get them out of there. These judges are running roughshod over the people, but you need to know and understand the process. And I haven't asked you to do anything yet. The media in this country is an enigma in some ways, believe me. However, the moguls at the top who are dictating and creating are guilty of betraying the American people by continuing to cover up this fraud. This would never have gotten as well entrenched as it is without Katherine Graham at the Washington Post and the rest of the Yahoo Club. It's time to go after the media. And you're saying, oh, baby. Here's another thing you want me to do. I have 8 children. I'm holding down 2 jobs. I know that. But do a form letter to the editor. Keep sending them. Keep pounding on these newspapers. Go after them. Take 2 minutes to fill out 3 or 4 postcards to their advertisers. I'm boycotting your store. I'm going to my church. I'm going to tell them why. I'm going to boycott your advertisers. Put the screws to the media, just like they've done to us. They are the second biggest problem in this country. Really, and it doesn't take long to do a postcard, but we have got to crack that part of the show here. Not everybody in the media wants what's going on to go on. Believe me, we know from doing a little bit of homework ourselves, there's a lot of journalists, there's a lot of TV anchor people out there who do not approve with what's going on. They do not like promoting what they have to promote during the news. But like everybody here, they have to eat, they have families. I'm very fortunate my husband's a retired colonel. I don't have to work for a living. I did give up my career to do this, but what good is a career if the New World Order comes in and we're all working for a food and stamp book and a gasoline book? It won't make any difference. But it has freed me up to be able to do some of these things. But as I said, only a very concerted effort, sustained effort, is going to get this job done. In the past, people have been trying this. Like I'm 44 years old. They've been trying this longer than I've been alive to get rid of this. But it's always been here and there and here and it. Finally, once and for all, we have this huge movement, and we've got to keep it sustained and unified in this country. Excuse me. It is a lot bigger, of course, because everybody can't afford to come here. If we're going to stop this, we need to do everything. Everything in a sustained fashion until it's over. I do not want to make this project just another patriot organization, because it's not. This is not business as usual. My intention, as I said when I began this, was to solve the problem once and for all. Despite the fact that I worked for the government for 3 years, I always learned when you went into business, number one, you do it to show a profit, and number two, the words "I can't" don't exist. It's "I can" and "I will," and "I will think of a way to solve the problem, and then I will get out there and I will get it done." That's what Project 93 is. Get it done. We need to keep educating the folks around the country. We are building momentum. This little booklet here that I wrote, we've distributed more than 210,000 of them. I've rewritten the booklet, the back of it, to reflect post-September 29th, 1993. And then added a few changes, a little more factual information. These booklets are $18 a hundred. That's a very small amount. The petitions will still be in the back. We need to keep getting these. Give them for a Christmas present to your boss so he can give them out to his employees. He owes it to his employees for them to understand that they're not, unless they're in the manufacture of cigarettes, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, to file that tax return, that they're being coerced with the Social Security. I'm not saying Social Security is going to end. I don't think Social Security should end until the system has gone the full circle of educating the baby boomers down that there's a better way to do it. But nobody, I get a lot of calls from people, and I have no intention of doing that, even if I were in a position to do it, which I'm not. But keep educating everybody. Keep spreading the word. We want these petitions to continue to go straight to your House members and senators' offices for however long it takes. We all know somebody. Somebody else knows somebody. If you'd like information from Project 93 in the future, an updated form letter, because that's the only way that I can do it. I don't have a secretary. And after 10 months of staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting pooped out, you guys. Please send a stamped self-addressed envelope for 29 cents. Hi. Okay, can I please finish this, though? But thank you for telling me. No, that's okay. What we have begun here today will not be stopped. I guarantee you this time it will not be stopped.
And, folks, now you've heard what happened, and that was the end of it. Nothing beyond that was said of much import at all. In fact, any import, really, except to go across the street and talk to your congresspersons. And you got to hear how the Liberty Lobby just took over in their efforts to steer the whole thing away from the whole reason one day out of the year D.D. Kidd organized people all across this country to go and protest and submit a petition for redress of grievances to abolish the Federal Reserve, the unconstitutional Federal Reserve, and the unconstitutional criminal IRS system. The Liberty Lobby took over, and you heard Tom Valentine. He said that NAFTA and this new health thing was more important. Folks, it was the Federal Reserve that made NAFTA and the health thing possible.
It's the Federal Reserve that's been destroying this country since its inception at a meeting on Jekyll Island in 1913. The number is 602-333-2174. Let's hear what you have to say. 602-333-2174. The phone lines are open. And if you guys want to talk about what you heard, or if you were there and you want to talk about what you saw and participated in, that's the topic for tonight. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. There's a few things I want to ask and tell you. I did a bit of research, and I noticed a few coincidences on, let's say, Liberty Lobby and other organizations that use anti-Semitism and the conspiracy. And Liberty Lobby's newsletter, The Spotlight, there was a newspaper by the Ku Klux Klan called The Searchlight.
That's right.
There's another one called The Torch.
Uh-huh.
There's another paper, I don't know which organization, that put out something, a paper called The Torch. And the Nazis used the lightning for the SS, and I think that's an interesting coincidence there.
Well, it's all the light. The sun, the light, Lucifer. Now, you're beginning to make connections here, probably from listening to the series on the mysteries.
That's right, and from whatever research I've done. Now, I've got a hold of a two-volume book on the history of Freemasonry, and it's apparently it's been put out by the Masons themselves.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going through it. It's very confusing. And one of the confusing things is their system of the calendar. And I have here, they mention something called the Year of the Masonry, something called Restoration,
mm-hmm.
A.L., which is Lucius.
Annus Lucius, or in the Year of Light.
A Mundi, M-U-N-D-I.
Yes.
And Hebrew Year, and there's other, and a lot of them, they just don't seem to correspond.
Well, they do correspond, but they correspond according to different times and different occurrences along their calendar. Their calendar is 6,000 years long. It started 4,000 B.C. It ends in the year 2000.
Right. That's one specific calendar.
Yeah.
But what do they use the other calendars as well?
Well, which specific other calendars are you talking about?
Well, okay.
These
referring to is 4,000 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
They also use the Hebrew year, another one which is 530 years ahead. And I don't know what these things are. Are you familiar with that?
Well, you have to understand that their calendar is Annus Lucis, or Annus Luminos, in the Year of Light. It's 6,000 years long. That's their calendar. These other calendars they use in different rites and rituals and in different explanations in history, but their calendar is the one that I just mentioned. And you'll see that AL on cornerstones, you'll see the date AD, and you'll see a date like 1993, and you'll see AL, which will be 5,993.
I see. My final question is, why is it so important for them to have all these symbols out, like the pyramid and the eye and all that, in popular culture and stuff like that?
That's how they speak to each other. That's how they identify themselves to each other. The symbolism is very important because it's their hidden language, and they don't dare talk out in the open, because then us profane cattle might learn what they're up to.
Right.
So they use the symbology to speak to each other and to identify who belongs to what group and all of that kind of thing.
I see. The information that I've researched more or less verifies a lot what you have said. The only thing that I have not been able to buy is actual conspiracy. Now, I don't know where to go from that. I'll hang up and listen on the radio.
Okay. To tell you the truth, there is no conspiracy today. Conspiracy is two or more meeting in secret to plot something that's illegal. They're not meeting in secret anymore. There certainly are two or more, and there's quite a few of them. They do meet in secret in the lodge, but all of this is being conducted out in the open. And pretty soon I'm going to have one of our CAGI members, Mr. Kitzman, on, who's going to explain to you step by step in his research what he's found about the New World Order and how it's being brought about. And I guarantee you it's going to be a dynamite show, and it's going to knock your socks right off. And it's all out in the open. this gentleman started listening to this show. He joined CAGI. He called me, and we talked personally several times, and he wanted to find out where to start looking and what to look for, and I gave him some clues, and he just went on his own. And every once in a while, he would call me back and say, what about this, and how about that, and I listened to this show the other night. Where did you get that piece of information? And then he would go off on his own, and we've been communicating ever since he began, and he has gone the full circle from the beginning all the way to the end, and he's going to be a guest on this show. He's going to be the superstar, and he's going to tell the sheeple out there what's happening, and you will be amazed. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. We're just tuning radio down here, Ted. Yeah, I was listening to that.
Can you put the phone right in front of your mouth and talk louder, please?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's much better.
I was listening to your program with that Federal Reserve rally. Can you tell me when did that take place?
September the 29th.
The 29th?
Yes, last Wednesday.
Well, I'm sorry I missed that.
I'm sorry you did, too.
Yeah, because I didn't realize something like that was going on. And I have a local radio show here in Connecticut myself, which actually has been just a nostalgia show. But in the last year or so, I've tried to incorporate a new segment and have some of these people on talking about some of these things. And they did have a gentleman on from a group called Sovereignty, whose name was, I forget his first name, his last name was, oh, it was Ken Bonsack. And I think they're based out in Chicago area, Freeport. I don't know if you had ever heard of them or not.
No, but really the subject tonight is the Washington thing on September the 29th. If you got a point, if you could make it real quick, I'll go ahead and let you make it.
No, I just wanted to say that there is some movement, and I just wanted to call you and just say that I'm enjoying what you're doing here, and I just hope that it continues. And so that's really, I just wanted to call to mention that I enjoyed your program.
Great. I appreciate your call, and I hope you keep listening. Sounds like you're a new listener to Shortwave, and thank you for calling. Line's open, 602-333-2174. Let's try to stick to the subject tonight, folks, which is the March on Washington, what you heard tonight in the beginning of the program. And for those of you who were there, whatever you would like to talk about, and let's discuss this issue. Good evening. You're on the air. You want to say something else? You want to tell us who you are? Another little child, folks. We're going to send three people over to change your diapers because from the sound of the load in your diapers, it's going to take three people to do it, my little, little bitty, tiny-minded friend. Good evening. You're on the air. Oh, and by the way, Steve, we know who you are. You're on the air. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. My name is Ron. I'm calling from Surrey, Canada. We're having a federal election here in Canada, and I must add it's a pleasure to talk to the world. I really don't have a lot to say about the Freedom Call 93 thing.
Sorry, but that's the topic tonight. Folks, pay attention. The topic tonight is not Freedom Call 90. The topic tonight is the March on Washington. And that was called Project 93, in case you've forgotten. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Mark from California.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Good. I just wanted to tell the listening audience who I shook hands with on Wednesday.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, you're one of the guys that I taught the handshake to, huh?
Yes, yes.
I remember you came up and you said, how could I tell if someone was a Freemason?
That's right, and you showed me.
And I showed you the handshake and told you that if they were not, they wouldn't even know what you're doing, and so won't do anything. And if they were, what did I tell you?
You said they'd return it.
And what happened?
He returned it.
And who was he?
Well...
Why don't you tell the story from the beginning? I think it's really interesting, and a lot of people out there are going to love to hear it. They think I'm full of it, but as you found out...
No, you're not full of it. You're telling the truth. Okay, what happened was I was talking to you with another CAGI member, And I noticed one of the guys that speaks before you on the same frequency was talking to some people, so we walked over to him. And his name is Tom Valentine, by the way. And I went out, reached out to shake hands with him, and he grabbed my hand pretty firmly. And I loosened my hand and touched his third knuckle with my thumb, the Master Mason's grip. And he got a smirk on his face and touched my third knuckle. He returned it.
And is there any possibility of that happening by accident?
No, sir, there's not.
In fact, it's pretty hard to reach over there and touch that third knuckle, isn't it?
That's right. He didn't want to do it because he grabbed my hand pretty firmly. But as soon as I hit his third knuckle, he got a smile on his face and he did it back to me.
Yeah, so he thought you were a brother in the order, didn't he?
That's correct. And also, my friend, who is catching member two, he came up to me and he had the Master Mason step with his heels together at a 90-degree angle.
Uh-huh.
And Tom looked down at his feet and gave him a smile, too.
Well, there you have it. What did you learn from all that?
Well, I learned that Mr. Valentine is a traitor to this country, and he's speaking for the Freemasons, trying to get us to believe that our constitutional government doesn't work.
That's absolutely correct, my friend. I don't believe that he thinks that he's a traitor. I don't think that any of them believe that. I think that they honestly believe in their heart that they're doing the right thing for humanity. Unfortunately, it involves lies and deception and manipulation. I don't care who they worship or where they meet or what kind of clubs they belong to. But when they lie to the rest of us and manipulate us and deceive us and create chaos within this country in order to bring about the collapse of this country, to create a new world order so they can step in and establish order, then they're my enemies.
That's right, and they're not consulting with us, so that's another main issue.
You know, you saw what happened in Washington. You want to explain to the listening audience what you saw?
Well, I saw, you know, everybody was meeting, and when I got there, I got there maybe a couple minutes before you, Annie, and Pooh got there, and there was only about maybe 500 people, and, you know, it's sad to see the Patriot movement, or there really isn't a Patriot movement.
That's right. There isn't one.
No, and they were all pretty much off track, and Liberty Lobby just stepped up, and they just took the focus off the Federal Reserve and the IRS and focused on NAFTA. And the Federal Reserve is a lot more of the problem than NAFTA right now, because the Federal Reserve has been around since 1913, and I think we should focus on that.
Yeah. Well, I got news for everybody. Unless we do something about the Federal Reserve, you're not gonna have much effect on anything else. And if you defeat NAFTA now, it'll come back in another form next year, or 6 months from now, or 2 years from now. And from the showing in Washington, D.C., I think it's just about all over anyway. I think the New World Order is going to be escalated, and I think I don't think there is any Patriot movement, and I don't think that anybody's going to do anything about anything except talk.
That's right. It's really sad. You know, we got all this on film, too. When I shook hands with Tom Valentine, one of the other CAGI members was filming this. As I went up to shake his hand, somebody else walked in the middle of us, though. So, you know, we couldn't see the Mason's handshake on film, but we did try to get this on film.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be sending that up to you, because it has a lot of good shots of Pooh and Annie, too.
Oh, great. Thanks, Mark.
So, yeah, sure. Well, I'll try to let another caller get in right now.
Great.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for calling. That was a surprise. I knew you were going to call me this week, and we were going to arrange for you to come on, but I wasn't expecting you tonight, but I'm glad you did, because it fits right in with the program. Good night, Mark, and thank you for calling.
Bye.
602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing, Mr. Cooper?
Good.
My name's John. I'm calling from Norristown, Pennsylvania. I was at Project 93. I heard Debbie speak, and I saw what Valentine had been trying to do.
Uh-huh.
Afterwards, I went into the Capitol, and I lobbied with the assistance of two congresspersons and one senator. I sent you a package last week about our Attorney General in Pennsylvania, Ernie Priede, joining the Masons.
I got it.
Yeah.
In fact,
I also visited the Masonic Temple in Philadelphia, and I wrote down what I experienced there. The images of Ray and Osiris.
All over the place.
They told me that it was consecrated in the late 18th century. I said, consecrated to who? And the man said, I didn't say consecrated, I said dedicated. But he didn't tell me who was consecrated or dedicated to.
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
Yes, it is amazing, and it's amazing there's so many sheeple out there who just fail to open their eyes. They listen to all this, and they just denounce it and say it can't be true. Well, it is true, folks, and I'm sorry your attitude is don't confuse me with facts. I already know what I believe, because that's going to hurt you really bad in the long run.
But I noticed, Bill, that congressman that was speaking about NAFTA, he said he didn't know anything about the Federal Reserve.
That's right. That just blew me away.
I stood face-to-face with my congresswoman, Marjorie Margolis-Nesvinsky. She's the one that cast the deciding vote on the Clinton budget scam.
Uh-huh.
I confronted her when she was giving a lecture outside a hospital in Philadelphia. And I said, I know you get nagged by a lot of people on a lot of issues, but you must look into the Federal Reserve. She looked at me and said that I don't know anything about the Federal Reserve. It seems like a code word among them.
Well, it is. Sure. They've been told, you talk about this and your career's over. Your backing's over. You don't get any more money. We'll get the press after you. We'll find every dirty piece of linen in your closet that you ever had. And with that, we're out of friends. We're out of time. Sorry. We're out of time, my friend.
Here to learn and read.
Yeah.
I'll be in touch with you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you for calling. Well, folks, that's it. And I want to thank all of you for being such a good audience tonight, and all of you who called in for your good calls. As always, good night. And before I go, remember, there's a $500 reward for the first person who gives me a video or audio tape with Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz, Bobo Grits around here, stating in his own voice that he is a Freemason or a Mason or a Mason of the Scottish Rite or any combination of those. Good night, and God bless you all.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. But the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me. And I'd have to stand up next to you when they take her to today. But there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where the pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her till today. But there ain't